Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries and all things spooky.
We are two Scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, Scouse banter and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a belly, it's about to get heavy.
I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to
Don't Talk to Strangers.
I hate that little laugh we do after.
No, I know, but I have to laugh because like my skin nearly falls off with cringing, but like in a good way.
We're like taking the piss.
Yeah, but I love it.
Welcome back.
Yes, this is episode 8.
Oh my God.
8, oh my God.
8 eps in. January.
Yes, I hope you've gotten over the horrificness of last week's episode.
Oh my God, Junk Out. I'm still scarred from Junk Out.
No,
I can't believe how traumatic it was.
I know. So if you haven't listened, everyone, if you're new here, welcome.
It's
but go back
heavy
and listen to, yeah.
It actually was probably one of the heaviest we've done, do you think?
I think so, in terms of like what
details
happened.
Details and stuff.
I'd say, yeah, for sure.
I'm still surprised I've never heard of that. I had quite a lot of people messaging me on Insta saying, you know,
same.
They couldn't believe that case and it had like shook them up a bit. So sorry. January, I am still on dry Jan, everyone. I don't know what happened to me. I mean, I've had my surgery. And
she's a new woman, like you
I
said.
I actually am a new woman. I've been vaping. I've had no ciggies and I've had no wine.
Like, no ciggies and no wine, everyone.
I've actually had none. And you know what? Right now, I just CBA.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
We said this last week, 2022.
I know.
New year, new
bod. New hair, new nose.
Yeah, she's got new hair. Yeah, she's back blonde and she's long, baby.
I'm new and I'm just not feeling.
Well, that's fine.
You know, I'm not feeling like just jumping back on the... I just can't be arsed with the blackout and making a show of myself. So.
Well, yeah, fair play.
So Kate's going to take one for the team tonight because...
Well, I mean, taking one for the team puts it in like... I'm enjoying myself because I'm having a glass of wine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm only going to have one glass. But obviously, we are true crime and red wine tales.
So we have to do red wine. Yeah.
Also, going back to last week where we didn't drink the 19 crimes.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So, again, for those of you who don't know or haven't listened yet, Hannah bought me a bottle of 19 crimes
by
for Christmas.
Accident, by the way, because that's our favourite.
Yeah, but it had coffee in it, pardon me. It was red wine with a shot of coffee. We didn't drink it because obviously I was being a nice friend and not drinking with Hannah.
Thanks, hon.
But that only lasted for 1 week. Anyway, but I actually had it like the day after we recorded or whatever. And I like it. I do like it. It's a bit of a mad taste at first. It's drinking red wine with espresso martini mixed together.
I do want to try it actually.
Yeah, like it is nice, but I got used to it.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's actually delicious.
Once you get the
And then obviously me and Linda, me mum, finished the whole bottle, so...
What did Linda say about
She this? Was the same. She was like, ooh. But she's like you, like, loves coffee, loves red.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't drink coffee. I only drink iced coffee.
Do you like an espresso martini?
No.
Because
I just couldn't imagine, like, drinking coffee on a night out, like...
No, I only have a few of them, you know, say to, like, start me, I'd have a few, and then they're too sickly for me. But
yeah,
I like to start, or after your food, for, like, a wake-up. I've got a beard.
On it.
I'm just sitting here like...
We're talking about cocktails and red wine. I've got a beard.
I'm feeling it, honestly.
Well, stop playing with
when
your whiskers.
You get to this age, right? And
oh,
this age, but you just get these, like...
Little whiskers.
Hairs. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'm not a cocktail gal, really, when I go out, so... But I'm drinking Campo Viejo Rioja.
I do like a Rioja, you know.
Same. This is mine and my mum's favourite, so it's... I know you like it as well, but...
I've had it, haven't I? Yeah.
Yeah, I've brought it round a few times. This is my mum's favourite and myself and mine. It's... I call it Yellow Label. Lots of wines have a Yellow Label, but you'll know this bottle when you see it.
Oh, with the... It's the little kangaroo one?
No. Like, look.
Yeah!
It's not kangaroo, though. It's Spanish. It's not fucking Australian.
I'm thinking of... Yellow tail.
Yeah. I call it Yellow Label, but it doesn't say it anyway. It's called Campo Viejo. Tempranillo or something.
Yeah, you got me onto that one. Love it.
It's
absolutely
fab.
Love it.
I get crates of 6 in Costco.
Do you?
Yeah. Much, much better value for money. However, it's £8 from the Asda.
Ooh.
That's what I paid today. Yeah, it's a lovely, juicy and smooth red. It's got like ripe red fruit on the nose with smoky nuances, sweet notes of vanilla. I mean, all of this, I just get one bit of vanilla.
No, it's fit though.
No, but like it's actually a very, very nice wine. And it just says it's you can pair it with everyday dishes such as bolognese, roast chicken, burgers, grilled vegetables, and light cheeses.
It's up there.
It's one of my favourites, yeah. To be fair. So highly recommend this. 9.5 out of 10. £8.
Orangey label, don't they?
From the Asda, they do. They yeah. also do a Grand Marnier. It's a Grand Reserve, and it comes with like, I got it in Costco. It comes with like a, you know, when you see wines that have like a cage around them of like yeah. foil.
Mm.
They come that, and it's the Reserve. That's unreal. Oh, really, really good, guys. I don't get commission off these sales, but one day I might.
When I'm back on the wine, we're going to get a really good bottle.
Yeah.
To review.
Yeah.
Like a.
Recommend us some, actually.
Like
someone,
a really good one.
I meant to say, actually, oh, I should have got it up. I wouldn't be able to find it now through all the DMs. But some woman did message and recommended one. We'll have to find it. And we'll shout you out and we'll buy it and we'll review it.
Yeah, because we always get like the cheap shit ones that we love, but we yeah. need to do like a quite a nice one.
Mm. We're going to do a Chateau Neuve de Pape.
De Pape, yeah. Yes, babe.
Just because I like saying that, Chateau Neuve
de Pape. I like that as well, about
yeah.
that.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll get a nice one.
Okay, that might be our next one. We'll see.
Definitely when I'm
we'll
back.
We'll see. If people sign up to our Patreon.
Oh, yes, Patreon.
Let's please, not forget about that, please, guys.
Please sign up to our Patreon. We have got so much exciting stuff to come.
We have indeed.
Extras for yous, if yous are on there. Bonus episodes that yeah. will all be to come.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's nothing there right now, being honest. But it's all in the line. It's in the pipeline.
It is in the pipeline. And...
yeah, and it'll be things like, I don't even know why I'm going to say it because I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it'll just be good extra juicy bits for you. If you like us, do it.
Oh, and you know what? Actually, I'm going to mention this. I sent it to Kate the other day. I've seen it in the Liverpool Echo that in May.
Oh, yeah.
Camp and Furness, they're doing like a serial killer talk thing.
See, I've been to one of them in October and they're a bit...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, they're not... They're good.
I feel like we're going to have to go there.
We'll have to go. We'll have to go to one for our research for sure.
One name sent.
There's also going to be... Oh, let me try and find it.
Oh, is that like crime con?
Crime con. We'll be doing
that.
For sure. One of the girls, I think it was Yaz, sent me something that's coming to Liverpool. Oh, where is it? Basically, it's like I don't think it's real, but it's like a live post-mortem.
Oh, sick. We've got to go.
And I was like, well, I've been there, done that. I've seen them.
Oh, she has, actually.
But I'd still obviously go. So
we'll
actually keep an eye out for these things and we might link them somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got nothing to do with us, obviously, but if we're going, we are the type of people that'll enjoy. If you're listening to this, you'll enjoy the type of things. So,
and if it's in the city and you're from here, then you may.
For sure. But sign up to Patreon, thank you.
Thank you, and all your support.
Yes, it does indeed. We do love you for it, guys. But I think it's time to
get into today's case.
I think so, hun.
Okay, so as usual, Kate does have no idea what today's case is. This is a little bit different today.
Oh.
I feel like this one today hits home a bit more.
Oh.
I feel like because it wasn't that long ago, you will have probably seen it on the news and stuff. And not saying that obviously other murders don't hit home or don't seem real because they are real.
They are real.
But because of the age of the people involved and the way it was all brought about, you'll see exactly what I mean. It's so like relevant to today that it seems so scary. And
Because I know what you mean though, because like obviously when you have all these big cases that are like sensationalized.
Like Jeffrey Dahmer in America.
We're like, wow. Yeah. Oh, Jeff, we love Jeff. But because we think it was ages ago. And,
in like America.
It's millions of miles away, but we forget it's actually very, very real and very, very horrific. But,
I mean, that's why, to be honest, I think you might not agree. I think this is maybe different to one we've done so far.
Okay, we like
in
this.
In terms of, the age, how it all came about, England, not that long ago, so okay. It's proper sad as well, by the way.
Get ready, everyone. Grab your bevy.
It's proper. It's about
to get heavy. We forgot to say it last week.
A tea keeps remembering, actually. Okay, so this is really sad, guys, but here we go. So today, I'm going to be telling you about the murder of Molly McLaren. Does that ring any bells?
It doesn't. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it, to be fair, no.
Okay.
But it might do.
Okay, so Molly McLaren was 23. She lived in Cobham, which is a large village in Surrey in England.
Okay.
Molly studied in uni. She was in uni on a second year for a degree in health and fitness. She was proper, like, into all her, like, health, nutrition, trying to get fit and healthy and personal training and stuff like that.
The exact opposite of me.
And me. We've just set a chippy.
We have. Anyway, sorry.
Her parents were Joanne McLaren and Douglas McLaren, and she had one brother, Tom. Honest to God, right, we're going to obviously put pictures, but Kate, you need to have a look on Google at this girl. She was so gorgeous. Kate's actually getting Google up now on her phone.
I know, I need
to. She was so, so pretty. Like, please have a look at the Google images of her.
Oh, no.
She was so gorgeous, wasn't she?
Yeah. Oh.
Proper pretty girl. She was, you know, a fun-loving girl, loved to go out partying, was, like, had loads of mates. And mum and dad seen, like, you know, any interviews and I've seen in them, the proper, like, nice people.
Yeah, it always is. Bloody the nice people.
Proper nice people. She was really, really close with her mum. All her friends said, like, how happy and fun she was. There's loads of, like, social media footage of her, like, on Snapchat and all that, just having a laugh out and about with her mates. All of her friends said she was the life and soul of the party. If you were ever down, she was always the person that you would turn to and she'd pick you back up again. So she was really interested in her health and her fitness, and one day she hoped to become a personal trainer.
Aww.
Like most young people nowadays, Molly was logged onto all the social media platforms. So this is where this story, you know, shows, obviously social media is amazing for so many different things, but it shows, and that's why I said it's actually so, like, relevant and scary, because how it come about, this shows a proper dark side of social media.
Yeah, it is the devil,
and it's dangerous, you know, how it can be dangerous, so.
For sure.
I mean, we did the Southwark Cannibal, and that was about Grindr, wasn't it?
So,
you'll relate, kind of thing, so. Like most young people, she was logged onto all the social media platforms and she frequently uploaded snaps of her life on her Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like most of us.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Around this time, when all this was kind of first coming about, Tinder was quite new.
Okay.
And it was where, like, a lot of people were using,
jumping on it,
but it was kind of when Tinder was
the new craze.
So people were meeting on there. Obviously, if you don't know what Tinder is, people, it's like a dating app. People were meeting on there to hook up or whatever. Molly uploaded some, like, gorgeous photos of herself, and she soon matched with 24-year-old Joshua Stimpson. When I first seen, I was watching a documentary and I got my research mainly from there and, like, news articles.
Yeah.
But all the news articles did name him as Stimpson. But on the documentary, on his Tinder profile, it said Joshua Simpson.
Who?
But most say Stimpson, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so she matched with him and he was from Woodham in Kent. So they didn't live too far from each other. They spoke for about 3 months before meeting up in person.
That's quite a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, which is kind of like what I would be like, well, that's quite safe.
Yeah.
In a way, course. I suppose.
And, you know, she was telling all her friends, like, dead excited. Oh my God, you know that lad I've been speaking to? Like, I finally met him. Like, they proper hit it off. Stimpson So a little bit about him. Yeah. He grew up in Stoke-on-Trent, but then he moved to Medway after finishing secondary school. He later lived in Woodham and had started work at a window, at window plan in Strood.
Okay.
Some work colleagues had described him as being a charming, bright young man.
Okay.
He wasn't a usual type, but he was the type in the sense of, like, he had dark hair, he was good looking, and he was proper keen on the gym. She did seem to really click with him. When they finally, like, met, like, suddenly hit it off, they had, like, the best honeymoon period. You know, he was constantly, like, telling her how besotted he was with her. He would say things, you know, all I do is just stare at your pictures. I can't believe I'm, like, with you. Like, all this kind of thing. He was like, really loved up with her.
Yeah.
They had a really good honeymoon period.
I suppose that's not, like, unusual, though, is it? That's quite, like, and it's not the causes of concern. I'm always saying, like,
not at all.
Staring at pictures of, I would be a bit like, oh.
I'd be like, please say that to me.
I think I'd be like, oh, do you, hon, yeah. But I suppose, yeah, there's not an alarm in there, I suppose.
I mean, he was just really besotted with her, and when I'm in romantic, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, write me love letters, please.
Yeah, like, yeah. All that. So they'd, you know, this is at the beginning, they'd go out partying together, and they'd talk, you know, 24 hours a day, all that kind of normal stuff, I suppose. They'd go out, have, you know, nights out, all that. In December of 2016, Josh met Molly's mum and dad.
Okay.
And they said he seemed to be a really nice guy. He was proper relaxed. Josh told Molly that he'd never had a girlfriend before. And Joanne, Molly's mum, said how she felt, you know, because of him saying that, she felt Molly felt a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was as if he just badly wanted to be wanted by someone kind of thing. So I think she did feel a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah,
yeah. One thing they did say was that, I don't really know about his living arrangements, but her mum and dad said that he always seemed to be in their house. He preferred to go to theirs rather than the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
He would drink beers with her dad and talk about football, so he really got on with the family. No one thought anything odd or strange about him. Now, this was one thing that Molly did suffer with anxiety and had previously suffered with bulimia.
Okay.
So she'd wrote some blogs about it and on her social media to try and help other people going through, like, the same struggles. And obviously now, like I said, she was really into, like, a nutrition and stuff. So she did suffer with, like, some kind of anxieties and, like, some mental health.
But it wasn't anything, again, of major concern. But she seemed to have gotten over the bulimia.
Yeah, because she was, like, writing about it to help other people.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Josh told Molly that he also suffered with bipolar, which did come as a bit of a shock to the family, because no one kind of had any clue about that. And to be honest, family and stuff and friends had said that because they both suffered with some kind of, like, mental health struggles, they were all convinced that it was something else they kind of, like, connected over on an emotional level.
Yeah, yeah. It's another thing that they both understand.
And they could confide
in
each other. Sorry, I'm just thinking, you know, it's, like, down, so I know where I am.
Yeah, because I think, like, with mental health, if you haven't got it, like, everyone has mental health problems, I believe that, like, everyone suffers in one way or another, but if you have something, like, quite serious mental health and your other partner doesn't, I imagine that can be really
hard
to
understand,
to put themselves in their shoes and relate, whereas if you've both got it, I can see that. It seems like all this seems like fucking honeymoon, happy days.
You know, Josh said to Molly how he'd been speaking to other girls in the past, and as soon as he told them that he'd had bipolar, like, they just cut him off and stopped speaking to him, where that hadn't put Molly off at all. She'd offered, like, all the support and to help him do it. Douglas and Joanne, Molly's mum and dad, they said it was a shock, but they actually thought it'd be good for them to help each other out.
Yeah.
in February 2017. See, this is just not that
That's
long
like ago. Yesterday.
Yeah, I know. This is what is just horrible about this case. Like, not that...
Yeah, they're always horrible. Are horrible, but... Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, when it's so soon, it's like, pardon?
And it, yeah, and they met on Tinder and all that. Do you know what I mean? So in Feb 2017, things started to get a little bit controlling. Red flags everywhere.
I was going to say, that's just how it starts, isn't it?
Yeah. Molly was busy with a studying for uni, and Josh didn't seem to like this at all, so... He wouldn't even allow her time to study, and he'd insist that he would be allowed to say, she'd say, look, I'm studying tonight, I need to get work done for uni. He'd say, like, no. He'd insist that he sat on a bed while she sat on the laptop and studied, like, he wanted to be with her 24 hours a day. One day, out the blue, Josh decided to tell Molly that he'd quit his job because he wanted to spend all his time with her.
Stop.
And she was completely, like, livid at this. She couldn't believe it, to be honest. It was, like, a massive red flag.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And she just felt so suffocated by it, as she would. I mean, I think, look, come on, us girls, we've not all been there, but,
no, but
pretty
this.
Much loads of us yeah. have been there
yeah.
in these controlling kind of relationship, Jesus, I have. And it's, like... This is how it started creeps in.
And the thing is, there's probably lots of other things that she may not have even noticed.
Noticed,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like
Little things
that, like, he's just doing things and she's like, oh, okay, fine, whatever.
The, you know, the honeymoon period's great, they're all in love, and then there's little things and it just goes a little bit too far. So she felt proper suffocated and she told Josh, like, she needed a bit of space.
But that went down well.
Well, Josh obviously quitting his job was just a little bit too much. It was like a step too far. And a step too far for her. Molly decided to finish the relationship after a little bit of space. She decided to finish it for good. But Josh was literally just bombarding her with messages all day long, every day. Begging and begging and begging for the back, and he did this until Molly gave in and took him back, because obviously it was the easy option.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we've been through that, we kind of know what that means.
Yeah. Josh convinced Molly that it actually wasn't him that wasn't making the relationship work, but it was her mental health. And
so he started to blame her.
Yeah,
right. Not blame the fact that he's harassing her.
No.
Right, okay.
And he actually convinced her to go back and see a GP and sort out her problems. Like, that actually happened to me in the past. Like, I have been in a situation where I have been convinced by someone else that I need to go and talk to a doctor. I have had this, so I totally get it. Where,
What?
Like, where they... What's the word? Is it gaslighting? Is
yeah,
that the word?
Yeah.
Where they have convinced me that I've literally got a problem. Like... It's, like, just a massive manipulation.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can relate to that.
Bloody hell.
So, obviously, she already had the mental health problems.
Problems anyway, yeah. I was going to say, so this isn't helping.
No, and he's convinced her that it's her fault, and she's actually started, like, going, you know, back
Believing
to the
all.
GP and
yeah.
all that. So, she was kind of, as you do, like I said, I've been there, so many girls will have been there at the time. You don't really see that it's like a controlling behaviour, but a lot of your friends and
everyone
your family
else
can.
Does, yeah.
And everyone gets pissed off with you in the end because you just can't see it. You're like blindsided,
yeah.
whatever it's called, blindsided. The 20th of May 2017, Molly took Josh to a family party, and friends and family said, oh, you know, there was a bit of a change in Josh now with his personality. He just sat there. He wouldn't get involved. He was quite miserable. Where, like, Molly was up having the time for, like,
yeah.
having a ball.
Life
partying.
And soul, yeah.
Josh stayed silent. And then that night, Molly had called her mum from her bedroom. And when Joanne came up to the room, Josh was just showing her mum all these videos that he'd recorded of Molly saying, look at this, look at this. And when she looked at the videos, it was just Molly having a good time. Partying.
But he was making out like it was
like she was
worse.
Doing something wrong, and it was like as if, Joanne said, it was like as if he was like looking for ammo, he was looking for anything to pull it up on.
Like, kind of is it kind of like he was going looking at she's being a show when all she was just
having a good time, like, literally dancing,
doing what you do. But
it was like he was trying to catch her out for having a good time. Whenever there was any kind of doubt with Molly or the relationship, Josh would also use his bipolar as a weapon, and he would say, I'm not well, I'm so sorry about that, I was having an episode, and he'd guilt trip her and say, you know, me mental health's really bad, and she felt stuck because, and again, a lot of us have been there, like, she felt stuck because she didn't want to just leave him.
Yeah.
When, you know, she cares about him.
Yeah, so she feels like if she left him, he'd just be...
He might do something.
He might be like, he's sick, so you can't leave someone who's sick.
And you might not, she might not have even wanted the relationship or been in love with him, but you still love and care about someone. So he used this as his, like, ultimate weapon, where he knew that Molly was a nice person as well.
Yeah.
And give him support. He would throw the health thing in. So things weren't going too well, but they decided they were going to go on a holiday because it had already been booked like a while ago. So they went to Tenerife and Molly agreed to go, like I said, because it had been booked. And she just wanted to kind of give Josh the chance to see how he was and see how she felt when she got home. But on the holiday, nothing had changed. And Molly actually reached out to her mate whilst abroad saying how she'd had a massive anxiety attack over there. How he hadn't changed one bit, and she'd had this attack because of his controlling behaviour. When the pair got home from the holiday, Molly had decided, like, that's it. It's the end, like, I can't.
I know a lot of people do that, like, holiday, like, it's to like make or break. And obviously she just thought, no, I need to get out of here.
I need to get away. So that was it. She ended it for good. And then the bombardment started again. So the constant texts, the constant calls, begging for Molly to take him back. But this time she was adamant it was done. He would say things like, you know, I thought we were never going to leave each other. I thought we were always going to support each other. And she'd say, look, Josh, this time it's different.
It's different now, it's too far.
Colleagues of Josh's, because this bit was confusing to me because he'd told Molly he was quitting his job, remember? Yeah,
to spend all his time with her.
But I don't think he actually
did.
I think because she flipped about it, I don't know if he quit his job. This wasn't clear to me. So I don't know if he quit his job for a bit and then went back, or whether he never ended up quitting it because she flipped.
Yeah, or you may have got a new job, maybe.
Because,
like, how'd you survive, like, without a job?
Yeah, I don't think it was a new job. I don't know. But he had a job after the holiday. And his colleagues noticed, like, a marked change in his behaviour after Tenerife. So he was often distressed, agitated, crying, or literally just failing to turn up for work. He also confided in one of his colleagues that he was having thoughts of, like, doing something stupid. Whether that was to someone else or to himself, like, no one knows.
No one knows. He was just talking.
He was talking that. So Josh is upset over the breakup, shortly turned into a rage because he just couldn't get what he wanted.
Yeah, so that's usually how it goes as well. It's mad because everything you're saying, I'm like, this is the guide on how to be a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
First step, start to be controlling. Second step, take that control to the next level. Start manipulating. Blame them.
Manipulation.
It's like literally harass
it's
them.
So relatable.
Yeah, it's weird that, like, it's so, it's like the same for every story, and it, obviously every story is different, everyone else has their story, but it is always the same.
It's so true, and, like, obviously not all stories end up like the way this
one. No, of course not.
I've been there a few times, and they're all the same. They do start, and then the pattern builds. So you're so true. And like this, what we were just saying then, this does happen, like, with a breakup. Like, I see it even with some of my mates' fellas, even in an argument or a breakup, like, the fella will come crying, then when they're not getting what they want, they'll start going nasty.
Yeah.
Then that doesn't work, so they go crying again.
Yeah.
And begging. that doesn't work, start calling this and that, and they go nasty. Like, it's like cycles people go in, isn't it? So his upset over the breakup turns
to
into
rage.
A rage.
Yeah.
He turned nasty and he started texting Molly, threatening to tell her parents about, like, nights out where, you know, she had done a bit of party drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Started using that against her, saying, like, he's got shit on her, he's going to tell her parents.
Mm.
She did, you know, she did shit one because she was a young girl. You
yeah, of course, yeah. And she seemed like she was from a
yeah,
normal
nice
family.
Family
and if, the, yeah.
You don't really want to tell your mum and dad all this and that. He was telling her she was paranoid because of a drug taken. Now, from what I gather, she was just a normal girl going out partying. She did not have
She wasn't like a full-time... Yeah, it was like recreational. Is that the right word?
Yeah. She was always confiding in a friend about the manipulating behaviour, and she was always, like, updating them. She would send them texts showing what he said, and she would say, like, I just want to be free of this, like, shit, I'm over it. But he wouldn't stop. Molly then decided to block him from all social media for, like, a fresh start. But what he did was he roped in a friend who was a girl he'd previously matched with on Tinder, but then he became friends with.
Right.
He roped in this girl to help him stalk Molly's page because now he had no access. He was blocked.
He was blocked,
so he needed a spy. Like,
but wait, why would she agree? She matched with him.
Because
I mean, obviously,
he
might
turned out to be, like, me. But I don't really get out.
But then he went, right, I want to help stalking this girl. Like,
and
can you help?
And this bit said, yeah, but you know what? I feel like, not that I'm on his side at all, but I feel like we can actually all relate to this as well. Because, say, for example, there's someone you want to know that.
No, I get
you'll
that.
You'll go to your mate, hey, go
can
on.
You go on their story
yeah, yeah,
and watch
yeah.
it for me?
Yeah.
I get that, but you don't get a bird to do it.
No.
That's why I'm baffled about, like, you get your mate.
It must have been
their relationship, yeah.
They must have been.
Yeah, because obviously everyone, every single person listening right now has had someone look at some or someone else's page for them.
Yeah.
So that they haven't got view, like, they can't see that you view their page or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that I don't, people check who views their story, I don't.
Exactly.
See,
yeah.
I don't, though, like, I don't, like, it's weird, I never think to look up and see who's viewed it.
Stuff.
I don't know why, but I have no interest in looking up the story anyway, but...
you never know, babe.
But, it's yeah, I get that, but I was just a bit like, what, when you said someone he'd matched with previously?
Yeah, but I don't think
but anyway.
Your exes or...
Yeah.
So this girl would, like, you know, constantly send him updates on what she was doing, and as he could no longer see you, she would probably, you know, say, oh, she's doing this today, and he would text her and say, has Molly deleted that photo of me and her yet? And she'd say, wait there, I'll check. No, it's still there. Or where is she today? He'd say things like, she'd say, Molly's put this photo up today, she's at the beach. He'd go, well, I'm paranoid now, who's she at the beach with? I need to know. And she'd go, one minute, I'll let you know. But from this girl's point of view, like, the police who were doing the interview actually said this, that the girl, because they've got all the conversations.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the beauty of now, is they can track every little trace and conversation and any word he's ever said to Molly.
So you can actually read the text back and forth.
Bloody hell.
So the girl actually used, quote, I will help you stalk her, ha ha ha. But again, back in this girl to a certain extent here, you would say that to your mate.
Yeah.
If you said to me, oh, Han, me ex door, me
fella
this,
I've got a mate.
I'd go, I'll stalk him for
I've
you.
I've got a mate, I won't name her, but we call her PC at a second name because she is the police.
And you'll find out anything.
Anything, there's an elbow in a picture, she'll howl now and act like this, what I'm talking about.
Like,
she'll zoom in
yeah,
and she'll know his
so
date of birth, his blood type
and
his shoe size
and
within half an
true.
Hour, or
like
10
if,
minutes.
If there was, you know, a lad, you'd go, Kate, stalk him for me.
Yeah.
Or like,
and I'd go, oh my God, all day, absolutely.
Or go on his expert page and have a look at her story because she's blocked.
And then you'd
the
probably be the way we are is not rip her, but like say, like, oh, whatever, babe, she's a show. Like,
and
that's just what we do.
Earlier about something that's human nature, really. And
but also that's just, getting it taken out of context.
They're
seeing that I will help you stalk
it. Actually they weren't, because what they were saying was she was saying that kind of innocently, but what they were saying is this girl wasn't actually aware of how serious it was, what it yeah. was. Like, yeah. he was actually getting to a point where he was dangerous. Stalking her.
Yeah.
But, like, this girl just thought, oh, I'm helping me make, like, stalkers experience.
Yeah. I get you.
She didn't...
But she was getting manipulated that maybe.
Yeah, like, she didn't... It's like, you know, where if I said it to you, you wouldn't think, oh, no, Hannah's literally a freak, she's stalking him.
Yeah, I go, yeah, of course. Hon, give me 5 minutes.
We all do this. We all get a yeah. bit obsessed and we're like, where is he? And... Oh, is he on a night? Who's that bird? And then you go, hey, go on.
See, I, believe it or not, I've never really been asked to look, being honest. No, I haven't, like...
I have.
And the thing is, I don't blame people. I've yeah. never cared enough to, like, look back and it's never bothered me as much. Yeah. People have gone, have you seen this? If this has happened, or he's doing this now. And I'm like, nice one for telling me, but I'm not asked. Like, yeah, but I get it. I've done it for other people all day.
It's so normal.
It is weird that it's normal, but it is.
This girl just obviously didn't... She took it in that way.
Yeah.
But whereas what the police were saying is she didn't realise
how deep she was in it.
This was actually like she was helping like a dangerous
person.
Cycle.
I bet she, I don't really, obviously I don't know what happens, but I'm assuming it's not bad fun with the way this is going.
And I'm
thinking that she feels guilt forever.
Okay, so. yeah, so. Sorry, I lost where I am.
No, that was me. I'll keep interrupting you. Apologies.
No, you don't, Daniel. So he was always needing to know, like I said, like where she was, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And social media, like we said, that's what it is kind of dangerous for. Because I don't 100%. Think we realise we are updating our whereabouts all the time.
Yeah.
To everyone.
I've never thought about that. No. Like, I don't particularly... post on socials
even
or
like if you were like sitting in the elephant having your tea you might tag the elephant like you're putting like your
Walton shout out
yeah Walton massive
yeah
but you know what I mean it's like
if you're not from L25 you're not getting in
yeah
and then you're just, go on
do you know but, what I mean yeah. like stupid things yeah. like that but you don't realise like no people could
but
actually...
even not tagging just taking a picture somewhere most people can go right that's that pub or that's that club or
course.
That's that bar or shopping
especially
centre.
Especially if you've got someone dangerous, like, on your case like that.
For sure.
So, yeah, so basically, he was always needing to know, and she was just a young girl, like, in this time and day and age we live in. She was just updating about her, a whereabouts, you know, like we do, just... normal day to day and she blocked him so
she thinks I can do what I want now we can't see her
you can't see her
rightly so
21st of June Josh then resorted to a new thing he started putting all these statuses on Facebook for attention because he weren't getting a reaction he now needed a reaction so he started putting statuses tagging Molly's mum in the statuses so he was putting, he was putting things like have you been honest that you are a cokehead and I've been trying to get you to stop sniffing gear? And he would tag Joanne, Molly's mum, in the statuses. So, like, Joanne actually said that one day Molly had, like, ran home and said, like, mum, give me your phone. Like, I need to delete
something, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And the anxiety was, she must have felt. Jesus.
Course.
Bless
and
her.
This was clearly for a reaction.
Yeah.
He was bombarding them, like, one after another. It'd be like... then a photo of her and he'd say does everyone know this night Molly was like off her face on gear and stuff like that so he was just trying to ruin her life basically and it was clearly for a reaction he even started when he weren't getting a reaction from that he then started posting screenshots between him and Molly where he'd say basically like did you get on it tonight and she'd say
and she'd say yeah so
and
she was admitting
and he the mum in these which is shit you know
but, like, the thought behind that he'd have to go through all back chats.
And that's what
it
mean.
Is evil.
Like his mum said about the video earlier, it was like he always wanted to keep, like, things...
It's like...
Not that you delete your text anyway, but it's like he had all this ammo.
He's, like, collecting it all, being like, I'll use that against her in the future.
So he posted private combos and private photos and everything all over Facebook. So Molly's mum tried to contact Facebook and eventually they took the post down because it was, like, harassment.
Yeah.
So, after that, he went quiet for a while, but then all of a sudden, he started doing it again. again, Joanne contacted Facebook, and this does my fucking head in with social media. I'm not even going to go into the rant about it, but there's so many things that they say doesn't go against the guidelines.
I know, but then they take things down that are minimal. Minimal.
Like, I have seen the most disgusting things on Instagram, and they will not remove them. And they say it doesn't go against the guidelines, and I'm not even getting into it because it just pisses me off. But then they'll take down, like, a picture of a bikini.
No, no, that's what I mean, like, minimal, but then, I don't know, I wish I knew how it worked, but I don't think there is any way of knowing, or, but it is bizarre how long things stay online for.
Well, they took it down the first time, but after the second time, Facebook come back to it, and they said he wasn't going against the guidelines, and they wouldn't block him. She said it was so frustrating, Joanne, because, like we probably all know, there's not one person you can speak to at, like, Facebook or Instagram.
No, there's not. It's like robots and all that. Yeah.
So she was having a nightmare. So on the 22nd of June, Molly and her mum decided to go to the police. They'd had enough of the stalking.
I didn't blame them.
So they went to the police and told them what had happened, and the police made a phone call to Josh, and they told him that he must stop what he was doing, and if he didn't, he was going to be arrested. Now, this must have been on loudspeaker because Joanne commented about it. Josh said back calmly, repeatedly, "I've done nothing wrong, I've done nothing wrong." But at the very end of the conversation, he said, "If you think I have, then there'll be more to come." Now, I don't get how he said that on the phone to the police, and the police just didn't still think, well, that's
a threat. Yeah, like, it's like a threat, but not a threat.
But not.
Yeah, but the thing is, they've done what they've needed to do at that point. So, like, that's, I imagine, the first step. You make a complaint, they speak to them about it.
Try and warn them about.
Yeah.
So then words, "If you think I have, there will be more to come," are the words that then haunted Joanne McLaren. Molly applied for a local gym to work at. Almost instantly, Josh started going to the gym morning and night. But Molly had no idea how he knew.
I was going to say,
he was blocked.
Mm.
Molly had him blocked off all accounts and had changed the name and everything now. And she finally felt, like, safe and private again. Mm. 27th of June, Molly set up another account for her fitness and a positive support and page where she was going to start a new fitness journey and start, like, helping people and be a PT. The same afternoon that she did that, Josh was caught on CCTV in a nearby Asda buying a kitchen knife, and this was the knife that he would use to kill Molly McLaren with.
What?
Yeah, on the same day that she set up a little business, he was caught in the Asda buying the murder weapon, basically. And this is, you know...
Right, also, why do people insist on buying the murder weapons in local supermarkets that are riddled with CCTV? Do you know what I mean? Like, why? What? Like, if you think, right, not saying, like, advice to all you future killers, but, like, have a brain.
I know
he's not in his right mind, and I'm not saying, like, do you know what I mean? I can't get what my head's at, what I'm trying to say, but are they thick?
Yeah.
I mean, thank God, because obviously there's proof, but, like, it's bizarre.
I know.
Jeez.
And, you know, if you think about it, this has now been over, like, months and stuff, so...
She's gone through absolute hell.
She thinks this is just a weird ex that's, like, a bit obsessed.
I was going to say, she's probably now thinking, right, new gym.
Moved on with the life.
Yeah, I'm going to do business. Yeah. And then...
You know?
Jesus. It's bizarre.
The next day, after he was caught on CCTV, this is the 28th now of June, Molly went out with her friends to a bar and restaurant called The Ship and Trades to celebrate her new PT business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her other friends had just got, like, a new job or something like that.
Yeah.
So they were having a big celebration. She did post on her Instagram that she was going to this Ship and Trades. And as she went over to the bar to order the food, there he was. With a date. With a date. But apparently it come about later on that Josh actually was meant to be meeting this date somewhere else, and then
he changed the location
and said, "Let's meet there for a quick drink." So
he knew what he was doing.
A stalker friend, or whether it was him, he had an eye on this social media.
Yeah,
he tried to smile at her when he seen her at the bar, and she was literally like fucking a stalker. She was proper uneasy for the rest of the night, and this is so sad. She actually left and said she just wanted to go home and watch Love Island.
Stop.
Oh, no. Like, that's what I mean.
What year was this?
2017.
What season was that?
I don't know.
When did you go on it?
2015.
So that would be season two or three?
Three.
Season three.
Like, how sad that, because that's what I mean. When, like, when we say how, like, relatable it is, this young girl, no, she's, like, she'd gone out for a night out.
I've got, like, a feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, like, she'd gone out for a night out to celebrate, but she felt that uneasy. She's like, I'm just going to go home and put Love Island on. Like,
yeah.
It's so horrible, and it's just so close to it, you know, like, it's just so, that could be any.
There's people, so many people going through this.
Yeah.
Like,
this could be, like, literally any one of you. Like, it's just so, like, a normal, it's so sad. So on the 29th of June, Molly woke up bright and early. This the day after him, weirdo, in the pub the night before.
Yeah.
She got up in a dead happy mood. And Mum said that they had a little chat in the morning. They told each other they loved each other. And she left bright and early to go to the gym. Now, a CCTV camera picked up Molly's car on the way to the gym and picks up Josh's car following her car. They don't know where he started following her. They just, on a certain road, they picked up.
They both went on the same route at some point.
He was following her from early in the morning. So at 10:06, Molly arrives at Pure Gym. You know them little...
Oh, yeah. I used to go to Pure Gym.
Little, like, retail kind of parks. Yeah. You see them?
Yeah. I went to the ones by Brunswick, anyway.
And this is what this was. It was in, like, a retail-y park thing.
Yeah.
So at 10:06, Molly arrives at Pure Gym on Chatham Dockside. At 10:14... CCTV shows Josh Simpson entering the same gym. Molly texts a friend right away and said, like, oh my god, like, I'm in the gym, and he's turned up in the gym, and he's right next to me. Like, the CCTV, right, yous are all gonna have to...
I'll post it.
This is the...
Like, I'll post a screenshot of it, maybe.
Yeah, of the CCTV, and I'll tell you documentaries and stuff to watch, because you actually see the gym where they are. The room is, like, empty. It's just her in there. And he comes next to her and puts, like, his mat down. And just, like, doesn't say anything.
My belly's just gone. That is
he just
gone.
Starts working out. Yeah, he's a freak. So she texted me, you know, like, oh, my God, what the fuck are you
doing? Yeah.
So the CCTV shows how, like, empty the gym is. And then Molly texted her mum and said he's turned up at the gym. Joanne told her to ignore him and literally come straight home. But CCTV does show Molly going up to him. And then Molly then texts a friend again, because she's obviously standing in the gym panicking.
Yeah.
Saying, I've just went up to him and asked him, like, why are you following me? She hadn't posted anything on her social media about going to the gym.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was going to be my question. Did she post anything on,
nothing.
Say, like, early morning gym session, nothing?
There was nothing at all. Everyone told her to leave straight away. Leave the gym. Just get in your car and go home. But CCTV shows Josh leaving the gym. Now, you see him come out the room. He walks down the stairs. And you see him, like, pondering at the bottom of the stairs for a bit. Like, he's, like, in two minds. And he goes to walk back in the gym, but then he changes his mind. And you see all this, like, you can full on, like, see all these on the footage. So he gets in his car and he slowly starts circling the car park, waiting for it to leave. Molly's left the gym and texts a friend saying, I've left.
Yeah.
So as far as they know, she's on her way home. A friend told her to get straight in the car. The CCTV shows his car driving very, very slowly, so he could see where the car was. When Molly starts to get in a car, Josh gets out a car and started stabbing her in broad daylight, Kate.
Wait, what? So she's in the car?
She was just getting in the car
and he just walked over.
He was in his car, but he's got out, legged it over, and just started stabbing her. To a point where they ended up both in the car. She's
obviously,
to get in. He's got in the car. he's stabbing and stabbing her. She's trying to scream and beep a horn to draw attention. This is 10 o'clock in the morning in a retail park, like in broad daylight.
Wow, wow.
There was someone who actually tried to pull him off or shut the, like a passerby.
But, yeah, yeah.
But they couldn't stop,
yeah.
He non-stop stabbed and he actually stabbed her 75 times.
What?
Yeah.
Like I said, remember the Blackwell, Brian Blackwell?
Yeah.
Going like that with your arm, 20 or 30 times with his mum and dad?
Yeah.
That 75 times, like...
It's like this rage, you know? Oh,
that is pure insanity, like...
And emergency services were called to the scene and they were at the scene in minutes, but they unfortunately could not save Molly. He stabbed her 75 times in the car. This is so sad because her mum seemed so lovely. Her mum become so worried because it was like the last thing the mum and the matey is, I'm on my way home now.
Yeah, yeah, Ollie's here and I'm leaving.
I've left now.
Yeah.
So they're expecting home any minute. But it had been half an hour. It was only about 15 minutes away. So her mum started calling her. And then one of her friends rang Joanne and said, have you seen the news? And she said, no. She said, there's been an incident outside the gym. And Joanne said straight away she knew that it was Molly.
Oh, my God.
Her friends... when police arrived to the scene, they found Josh pacing up and down by the car, just covered in blood. They said he didn't run because
he can't.
He didn't run and basically he was arrested. Molly's friend, the one who she texts saying she was on her way home.
Yeah.
So all this, no social media post. Apparently Molly did have her location turned on Snapchat the whole time. And when Molly's friend checked to see if she'd left, her location was still in this Chatham Dockside, so she knew straight
she
away.
She knew she hasn't left, yeah.
She's dead, because she tracked her.
She's seen on the, oh my God.
On the news.
The shivers.
And now I've just got them.
The shivers.
When I know Snapchat's a little bit more old schooly now, like, I have it, I don't have anyone on it, I have it just for the videos, for the filters, but... There is a look. You can have like a little piercing.
No, I'm going on it right now as you speak. I remember this feature coming in. I'm the same. I don't use that. People send me things and I open them and go, oh, that's fab. Or like we made two, have got kids or whatever. But I wouldn't even know.
So you can literally have Kate Mitchell is like in Asda. And it'll be your like little cartoon moving around and it's fucking dangerous.
Well, oh my God, I found it.
So that's obviously how...
I'm not sharing my location, thank God.
Thank God. Imagine that, Kate. Imagine telling your friend, I've left the gym, turning the news on, seeing the incident outside the gym, and then checking your location, and your location is still in that car park when, like, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Oh, my God.
You wouldn't know that, you know, she hasn't left. She's still there. When half an hour ago, she was meant to be on her way home, so... But like, and that's what they thought, well, this is probably how he's been tracking. Because even for her to leave the house at the certain time, he was following her.
Because I was thinking, like, could it have been, like, in a car or something like that? But it makes sense now. She didn't realise her location was on.
The location switched on.
He will be onto that straight away, knowing how to check these things as well, I imagine.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
awful.
A
dad as well, this is so sad. A dad worked away, you know, on the rigs.
Oh, yeah.
And a mum emailed to get hold of him and said, like, you need to call me. And he went to, like, a certain point where he could call her and she had to tell him over the phone that Molly had been murdered.
I imagine, like, a call like that's horrific anyway.
I know.
But then imagine it being, like, you've been murdered. It's not... Like no an accident
one,
or...
Yeah, no one questioned, you know, who it was because everyone kind of knew.
Kind of knew, yeah, jeez.
23rd of January 2018, Joshua Stimpson sobbed as he entered the court. He pleaded not guilty on diminished responsibility and he would not make any eye contact with the McLarens. He admitted to manslaughter and claimed that he was bipolar and had a personality disorder. Cheeky bastard. But a doctor, Dr. Philip Joseph, was asked to, you know, like,
evaluate him. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, where did they deem him?
And one of, you know, the main aspects of this whole case, even during the relationship, was this theme that Joshua Stimson had bipolar, but the doctor said that he had no medical defence and there was no bipolar or personality disorder. So this whole
history.
Time, yeah, this whole time, it was...
He just made it up. That was his excuse.
Yeah, it was a manipulation tactic.
Oh,
and
my.
And get her to feel sorry for him. He said there was some narcissistic traits there, but
I was going to say, we're saying, like, oh my God, there was no mental health. There clearly is a mental health issue for him to do that.
Well, he said, due to the separation of Stimson's mum and dad in his earlier life and the fear of abandonment from his mother.
Right.
Which is, you know, a lot of
mummy problems, you know, it always is.
Yeah. Also, during the trial, the McLaren learned that he had, in fact, had two ex-girlfriends. You know, the way he said he'd never had a bird. And that was, again, to make her feel sorry. They both tried to leave Josh. And he had taken to Facebook to post threatening messages about them.
So he'd done it before?
Yeah. One, he'd claimed he was going to come on holiday and drown the girl. It shows, you can see him commenting this on these girls' Facebook pages. He also threatened to stab one of them. And one of the girlfriends had gone to the police over him, but because he'd slashed the tyres. But because he had they had no physical evidence, the police had not, logged the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The friend who helped Josh stalk,
I was going to say, what's happened to this bitch?
She did stand in the trial, and she claimed she wasn't aware of how serious she was getting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've just said this, bitch, take that back. It's not her fault, but you would just think
you're helping her, mate. So
yeah, yeah.
And she didn't.
I think it's a bit weird. I'll claim that it's a bit weird, but...
Yeah.
Because I think the boy-girl dynamic is strange when they matched on Hinge or Tinder, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But she's not to blame. It's not her.
No, of course.
She didn't do it.
And on the 6th of February 2018, Stimson was sentenced to life in prison for murder with a minimum of 26 years.
Wow.
And that is the case of the murder of Molly McLaren.
Jesus fucking Christ, Hannah.
Oh no, like, it's so sad.
That was like an emotional case.
Yeah, it was.
Very much so, rather than like...
And if you see the picture, she's just so cute and like... Like, such a gorgeous young girl. And I know, like you say, oh, they had so much life in front of them and all that, but it's so...
Yeah, but they always do.
I know.
Like,
it's so sad. And, like, basically, I watched a documentary on ITV. Remember I was telling you the social media?
I was going to say, was this on recently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch... Was it a series?
It's a three-part series.
Right.
You just need to watch ITV.
See, it's weird because I remember you saying this and you posted it on your stories being like, oh, my God, sick. And I thought you were going to do a case from that a few weeks back. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I remember when...
Yeah, you did.
When you did whatever one it was, I was like, oh, was it the social media one? And you were like, no, babe, but obviously this is it.
Well, actually, you need to all watch them because it's like a three-part or a four-part, all different cases, but it's all about how people... The dangers of social media and how people...
Well, we've said this before
we've said it about dating apps.
How it's dangerous so dangerous.
It is.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, we were just saying, I mean, we always joke, me and Kate, and we go, like, I wouldn't go on that fucking Tinder. You could meet them and they're a serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, we always say that.
Always.
But...
And that's a bit... We're being dramatic. We're saying that in a jokey way. Being like,
But
it still could be also very true.
Yeah, and then... Even what we were just saying then, very innocently posting where you're eating and this and that, you don't think about it because it's the way of life now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're dealing with someone dangerous with like a screw missing like that, you don't realise where, you know, you don't realise. And this poor girl, like, if it weren't for social media, maybe, well, they wouldn't have met. And then, you know, maybe
it wouldn't have got as far as it did. Yeah.
And social media does help you, like, have a store.
Yeah, we are more accessible 24 hours a day.
Like, ooh, what are they doing? Like,
yeah, and we live off that. We live life to know what other people are doing.
Yeah.
That's how, like, sad it is. And I admit that, like, I've limited myself massively now. I'm, like, scrolling from social media, but you go on it to see what other people are doing.
Of course, yeah.
So even that is weird. But then if you've got, like you say, a bloody, if you're a few fries short of a Big Mac, and you've got someone that you're in love with and you can't see where they are, you can easily find on Instagram, Facebook, and
so that is why
you do not talk to strangers.
Yeah, just be careful.
Yeah, but the thing is, she did everything right.
She did, but I mean,
in a way, like, well, she did. She took her time, 3 months in, met him.
And her dad actually says in the interview, he says, you know, that's why you meet these people online. You don't really know someone, I suppose, even without meeting online.
Face to face, you don't know people. She's, the thing is with her, what's, with this case, which is a bit more, even more scary, is normally when these things happen, it's a secret to the parents, it's a secret to everyone else. Yeah. They're like, they're suffering with, maybe it's abuse, control, and whatever it is.
Grooming them.
Yeah, and they're grooming them on their own. Mm. The fact that this was like, he'd met her mum and dad, he was out, you know, he was in the parties, he knew her mates. That's even more concerning how bold he was about it.
Yeah.
Like, on Instagram, on Facebook, posting these things, and he weren't even trying to hide it, and she did everything right.
You know what? Obviously, where he'd gone out and bought the knife, it was like a planned thing.
Yeah,
like
premeditation. Why would one person go into the Asda and buy one kitchen knife?
Yeah, and that was the weapon the next day he ended up killing her with. And, or 2 days.
Two days later.
So he full on planned this. And you can see on the CCTV when he's like dithering about going back in. Yeah. Like, he's like edgy.
He's like, do it in here. Do it, wait till she leaves. Do it. Yeah.
He's planned it. And I think it was probably a case of, he was that obsessed with it. It was probably, well, if I can't have you, I don't want anyone else to have you.
Yeah.
And that kind of like obsession is fucking scary, isn't it? And it's dangerous.
It is.
He's a psycho. That's my case.
Well, at least justice was done, and hope he never, ever, ever gets let out. But that's a minimum 25 years.
Yeah.
You can in the UK be sentenced without the possibility of parole. So why the fuck didn't he do that?
I've got no idea.
But hopefully he'll fuck up in prison and just keep getting locked up for longer.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Monster. Hopefully.
I think his head will fuck up, I mean.
Probably, but... anyway, make sure you follow us on social media.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Be careful on there.
Yeah, Instagram at Don't Talk to Strangers podcast. But be careful. Be private, do your thing.
Yeah.
Twitter, DTTS poddy. Our Gmail is don'ttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com. And our Patreon is Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast.
Ooh. Thank you.
Bitches, subscribe.
Nice.
Thank you. Be safe out there.
Bye.
Bye.